From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 13th day of March 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll be joined by Todd Hubbs, University of Illinois agricultural economist, to take a look at the impact of last week's World Agriculture supply and demand estimates, discuss the South American corn and soybean crops, and the upcoming prospects for acreage in the United States. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, now joined by Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for being with us. Tell us about what's been happening in our area, please.
Well, they want to, but just not at these price levels. I think most of them now are resigned to waiting for the March 31 planning intentions report, see if we can get a little bump out of that, or they're going to hang on and see if we have some weather issues develop through the spring and summer growing part of the season. But for the next 2 weeks, there's just not a lot of news out there one way or the other, and I guess the market is focusing on the fact that we've got abundant stocks of both corn and beans, and then outside markets have been a little lower last week and starting off this week, so just not a lot of very friendly news to sink our teeth into here for the last week and maybe for the next week or so.
It seems that waiting for the March 31 reports and or weather is kind of an iffy prospect at this point. What do you think?
Well, you know, weather, you know, we've had four good crops in a row. We're dry. Now, that doesn't, we've had several years where we've started off February and March on the dry side and only to come out with plenty of rain throughout the growing season. So, it's anybody's guess as to what the weather's going to be this spring and summer. But, you know, if we can get less corn acres, more bean acres, that might make the corn traders a little bit more nervous, knowing that we have to have a pretty good crop if we're going to have less acres.
I've seen several sets of numbers that have started to come across my desk. None of them seem like we're going to get any fewer soybean acres, although the brokers that are on the air have begun to feel a little bit like that. How do you feel?
Here in Illinois, places that can grow 200 bushel plus corn, I really don't think you're going to see much of a shift. If you look at the actual acreage mix over the last 10, 12 years, we're pretty much on a 55-45 rotation, almost a 50-50 rotation. Farmers like that rotation, and unless there's just some overwhelming reason to change that, I think most farmers are going to stick with the 50-50 rotation here in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana. Now, you get outside of those three states where they don't grow 200 bushel corn as easily, up in the Dakotas, for example, out west in Kansas, down south in the Delta, Missouri. I think some of those states where they can grow good beans but maybe not as good a corn, I think those are the acres that we might see shift to beans.
What are basis levels like for both corn and soybeans today in Champaign County?
Basis levels are very quiet. On the one hand, we've got an abundance, but on the other hand, the farmers just aren't pulling the trigger. So basis levels are steady. There's good carry in the market, so we anticipate corn basis improving, you know, 3 cents a month, about the cost of storage and interest. And the bean basis is historically wide, but it's wide for a reason. There's just the anticipation of very little export business being done means that the local processors are the only ones that are bidding for beans. So bean basis probably will continue to stay wide. Corn basis should continue to get better.
And your bids for the day are?
Old crop corn, 341. New corn, 358. Old beans, 984. New beans, 972. Old wheat, $4. And new wheat, 426.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Just one quick note from the agricultural news, and then we'll hear from Todd Hubbs in just a moment, agricultural economist at the U of I, about marketing the coming crop. First of all, though, after a long, unexpected delay that left almost everyone in the ag world scratching their heads, the Senate received Sonny Perdue's ethics paperwork that happened last Friday, including a plan for how he intends to untangle himself from his web of business interests if he's confirmed by the U.S. Senate to be the Secretary of Agriculture. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, now joins us to discuss his most recent weekly outlook. He talks a bit about last week's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate and what the changing numbers in it might mean for the price of corn and soybeans at the CME Group in Chicago. Let's start with soybeans. There were some changes, but mostly we look towards South America for those numbers. What changed?
The USDA raised Brazilian soybean production numbers. They're up to 3.97 billion bushels. In a bit of a surprise to, I think, a lot of observers, they actually put out a production number larger than what CONAB, the Brazilian Ag Statistics Agency, put out earlier in the day. And it was a big number. Simultaneously, they upped the Brazilian soybean export numbers, which is, you know, going to put some fierce competition in place for U.S. farmers against Brazilian exports for the next few months, it looks like.
It looks like that will happen for at least 6 months. Normally, about the time we get to the fall, the Chinese begin to import from the United States. And really, it's about a 50-50 run. They import from the United States half of the year from the time we harvest until the time the Brazilians harvest. So that's just beginning to fall in place now, where the Chinese are importing from South America rather than the United States. How much of a real impact did USDA say, and do you think that will have on our ability to export soybeans out of the United States? Is there any change there?
Yeah, the USDA lowered soybean exports for the U.S. crop by 25 million bushels on expectations that Brazil in particular would pick up some of that market moving through the next few months for the rest of the old crop marketing year. Simultaneously, they raised the crush estimate by 10 million bushels, but overall this raised ending stocks to 435 million bushels for the old crop year. I mean, the competition is going to be fierce. There are some reports out there that, you know, the Chinese have agreed to sales on some bushels of soybeans, and it'll be interesting to see if they cancel those orders and move to South American soybean imports. And I'll be looking at that, and I think a lot of market observers will be looking at that over the next few weeks to see how that turns out.
From your perspective, I think this is, maybe the numbers are a little different than you thought, but the fact that we might have a lot of pressure coming out of South America, that they would have a big crop, that producers would be looking potentially at lower prices for their soybeans, isn't really that much of a shock.
No, I've been saying this for a few months now, and I think a lot of people have felt this, and the price maybe hasn't been reflecting it. I mean, on the one hand, it's great because we locked in a very nice price in February. But on the other hand, these beans are coming, and it's going to put a lot of downward pressure on price. In particular, like the March 31st prospective plantings report, I don't know how much more weight we can put on this thing this year. It feels ridiculous at some point, but if we see a huge expansion of acres in that report to soybeans, the downside is pretty strong for soybean prices for the next few months.
Do you mean by that if we see the confirmation of 4 or 5 million more bean acres than last, or something larger than that?
I think something larger. I think if we saw something like 90 million acres of soybeans, I mean, there's been reports out there, but I've been budgeting in about 4 million more acres, and the range is all over the place. I've heard people say 5, 6. You know, if we see a big number outside of what I think the market would consider normal range for these acreage, like 90 plus, maybe even 89 million acres. That's a lot of soybeans on top of what the USDA is saying we're going to carry out at the end of this marketing year. So any kind of normal yield year for U.S. soybeans moving into the 2017-18 marketing year, there's going to be a lot of beans out there. If you've got old crop beans hanging around, know that this March 31st prospective planting report's coming. And if it turns out the way a lot of observers think, you could see a real shock to prices.
USDA last week also dealt with the corn numbers. I think probably when you looked at them, we thought about two different things. At least this is the way you wrote in the Weekly Outlook, which folks can find on the Farm Doc Daily website. One of them on South America and the size of the crop, in particular the safrinha or second crop, which is just now being put in the ground in Brazil, and the other on feed usage in the United States. Start in the Southern Hemisphere for me, please.
The USDA raised Brazilian corn production to 3.6 billion bushels. And when you look into the world production numbers, they raised acreage a little bit, but it was yield that generated a lot of this number. I understand their need to do that if they think this crop's coming on, but you know, the safrinha crop, that second crop of corn, there's a lot of weather risk involved in that corn crop, and it's just in the ground. So the idea that all those bushels are going to show up is still, it's far from a foregone conclusion in the corn crop. If they do show up, that's a lot of corn coming out of Brazil. I'm on a wait and see pattern with this one. We've seen large yield deviations. For those of you that paid attention to the work Daryl Good and Scott Irwin and I did on South American crop yields, you could go back and check that out. But there's a lot of downside and upside yield risk in the second crop in Brazil.
Folks can find that on the Farm Doc Daily website. It's a fairly recent article, so look in the last couple of months and you'll find not only an article there about corn, but about soybeans as well, and Brazil and Argentina both. So there's a series of articles. USDA did take time in their written commentary for the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, as you suggested, to talk about not only the number of acres that are planted to corn. And they suggested that in the first crop, that was a major determinant of a higher production number out of Brazil. And they did talk also about the second crop and their expectations for higher corn yields based on, I suppose, really good corn yields in the first crop, which actually has been the case so far out of Brazil. But still, you're saying, look, we just put this in the ground.
Right. I don't blame them for doing that. It makes sense in a lot of ways. And if you think that production's going to show up, you should say, you know, in our forecast, we believe this is what the production number will be. But just like any, you know, weather-related crop, the possibility is there for a bad crop year. I feel like that number, you know, it could turn out. It really could. Even if it does, we're still the major corn producer in the world, and a lot of what's going on domestically does provide some support for corn prices moving forward. We've seen a really strong corn use for ethanol, and they raised that number another 10 million bushels. On the flip side, they once again lowered feed and residual use for the old crop corn. I think a lot of people, me in particular, have sort of felt like this was coming. It was a really large number to begin with, and with all the corn grinding for ethanol, the distillers' grains available, sorghum available for feed, wheat available for feed, maybe that corn feeding isn't going to be there to the level that they said. So they lowered that again. But on the whole, it was a wash on ending stocks. They kept it the same as it was in February. So domestically, you know, the strength's there a bit. If the South American crops turn out, especially the Brazil second crop, turns out to be a really good crop year for them, you know, there'll be a lot of competition there for U.S. exports moving through the rest of the 16-17 marketing year. Having said that, I feel like the domestic market feels pretty strong in corn right now. We've seen the prices in a band, you know, and the same has been true for soybeans, but this last report and the reports coming up, I think this might be the break. You know, we're going to see, I've been talking about downside risk in soybeans for a while, and I'm not the only one. The March 31st grain stocks reports and the prospective planting report is going to carry a lot of weight, I think, this year.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, on this Monday afternoon, let's check the weather forecast. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He is at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us. Can you tell us about the weather that's making its way through all the Midwest and the East Coast at this point?
Yeah, certainly, Todd. And there's two disturbances that, well, one is moving here across the Midwest, producing, in some cases, like here in Chicago, the first significant snow that we've seen in numerous months. That is going to combine with this upper-level wave that is over the southeast, and that's going to combine offshore the southeast coast here tonight and develop this nor'easter that will be tracking up the coast here tomorrow and on into Wednesday. And this is shaping up to be a classic nor'easter with snow totals ranging anywhere from just half a foot on the lighter side in areas kind of in around D.C., Baltimore, and in central western Pennsylvania to over 20 inches in a few localized swaths here in areas of kind of interior New England and in around the I-95 corridor. So overall, a pretty dramatic storm and pretty unusual that it's occurring here at this late stage of the season. Not totally unprecedented, but certainly in this winter that was pretty lacking this year, winter is returning right now, albeit briefly.
Will we get, then I take it, warmer temperatures that will melt away this snow pretty quickly?
Yes, but it's going to take some time here, Todd. We are seeing Arctic air actually pouring in behind this storm system. And for the next 10 days, we see temperatures here colder than normal, especially in the eastern sections of the Midwest. Our coldest days are right here in front of us the next 5 days, but we will be seeing a moderation. And in fact, here in the Midwest, temperatures will be back up to warmer than normal levels over the upcoming weekend with some lingering coolness out east, but no sign of any return to this current kind of shot of Arctic air that we're seeing right now through the end of March.
What kind of rainfall or moisture did we get in the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the United States over the weekend or today?
Yeah, we're not seeing that much here, especially, well, Plains has received nothing and just some snow in areas of the Midwest, soft red winter wheat belt. The main news here for particularly the Plains hard red winter wheat crop is that prospects look to improve starting in around 10 days from now as we do see energy coming in from the southwest and an overall a turn to a more active pattern across the Plains hard red winter wheat belt. And so with this more active pattern developing during this final third of March into early April, that should bring some relief here following the dryness, especially in Kansas, where it's been distinctly dry now for the past 2 months.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo, of course, is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Do find us online at WILLAG.org.